Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now more of Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning, Georgia!
Morning.
I waited for you. Hey, so just in case you are waiting for family members to return home today from a holiday trip that they took, they may be a little delayed because I'm going to tell you what, it seems like every mile there's another cop car waiting to catch folks coming back, driving over the speed limit today. I mean, it was just...
How do you know?
Because I was passing them. I was passing them this week, and today
well, that was
is
the other day. I thought you,
dude, this is the most traveled
you sound like
day
you're on the road right now.
No, I don't have to be today. This has been documented as the, if not the, it's one of the top two or three most traveled days of the year. People coming home for Thanksgiving, man. This is that Sunday, so this is the biggest travel day, and cops know it. And you know you've been, and man, it's the best time to get home too because you're probably about done with your relatives at this point. It's like, actually, and in some cases they're ready for you to leave too. It's time for y'all to get back home.
Did you leave the stove on? Y'all forget your way.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Sam, you know what we didn't do last segment, and before we get into, because I understand we don't have our guests ready, so and we're going to get into NFL talk. We didn't just however much time you want to just talk about what happened last night. And it's actually a microcosm of what we have been seeing. It seems like when there is programming that's needed, whether it's in sports or anything else, they go to the traditional moneymakers for them. Meaning if it's sports and you want to, you know, generate some revenue and you got to get those people on, you go for the Jordans or the Tigers and the Barclays. You know, Charles Peyton Manning's. And we've been seeing that earlier this year. We saw the golf tournament with Peyton and Tom Brady. You know, they're going to bring people to the TV along with Tiger and Phil. We saw it this past week with Barkley and Peyton again in that golf tournament. Well, last night, raising money for frontline workers. We have not given our thoughts on Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. going at it, which ended in a draw.
Yeah. Ended in a draw. At least nobody was sleeping in the ring like the last time we saw these two guys boxing. So they were both wide awake at the end. the best I can say, you know. And I think everybody came out in pretty good shape there. Nobody got hurt. And people got to see, you know, the baddest man on the planet back in the ring again. They got to see Roy Jones, who in his prime, both were great athletes. And I actually saw Roy Jones play another sport professionally. Basketball.
Yes, he did. He is like a real good basketball player.
The NBDL, and he played. I actually saw him play a game once. He played for the team. They had a team in either Pensacola or Panama City, his hometown. And he ran point. He's point guard on that team. So he's a great athlete in his prime. And, you know, hey, you guys want to get back out and do it. If people want to do it, I wasn't giving them $50. I don't know about anybody else here that's listening this morning.
Yeah, but you can't look at it that way, though.
0929. You liked it. Well, okay, I
you
mean,
can't
if,
look
you,
at it
if
that
you
way.
Saw it and you liked it, if you want to see him do that again, or I don't know.
No, but who would you like to see? Because you stopped, you know, you go to the top of the food chain when you go with Mike Tyson as far as boxing. But what we talked about was what other sports could do that. Okay, we've seen it in golf. And you talk about people who moved the needle. Well, they had it. They had Tiger and Phil, and they had Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. You can't do any better than that, right? In boxing, you put Mike Tyson in there. Okay, so I don't know who, unless these two fight again, although I don't think it's going to be Roy Jones. Because Roy talked about the fact that Tyson, both of these dudes got old man strength. But, you know, Roy got middleweight old man strength, and Tyson got heavyweight old man strength. And Roy was feeling it with all those body shots, you know, toward the end. So I don't know that he's going in there. Now, if you tell me.
That's the thing. We think about when George Foreman came back. George Foreman still had his punching power. He couldn't move, but you couldn't hurt him.
47 years old.
Hit George as hard as you want to, and he wasn't going anywhere, you know. But you know what? He had been out of the ring, and he had a lot of damage in the ring. I mean, once he lost to Ali, he was like, you know what, let me do something else for a minute. And he started preaching and started eating a lot of Whoppers driving through the drive-thru at Burger King. And he comes out there, and he starts, he comes back, and he made something out of it. He started selling a grill, and he's one of the greatest pitchmen, and he's able to come back and do it. But I don't know who else we want to see in this sport.
Exactly.
Come back.
Exactly.
Out there. I mean, and
a Klitschko.
You know,
maybe get a Klitschko. I mean, it's got to be a refire. But hit me.
We didn't watch them when they were in their prime.
That's true. But at least you knew
we had a belt. We didn't watch them guys when they were in their prime.
No, you're right. We're right because it was such a splinter division. But my point is, we knew he was a heavy. We knew he was a champion. You got to get another heavyweight, and there's not too many retired heavyweights with a name that you can put up. If Tyson says he's going to do it, who are you going to put next? Okay, but here's my bigger point, though.
Yeah, that's the thing.
When we do these, when these things are put together, why is it never anybody really young? Now, mind you, you could say they're still performing in their particular sport.
Like who?
No, I'm saying why? Right. It's always the retired dudes. Okay, you could have a chair. All right, let's just say this. There's going to be an event put together for frontline workers. Okay, the same. Now, if I tell you in that event, I'm going to get Mike Trout, I'm going to get Giancarlo Stanton, I'm going to get Aaron Judge, and I'm going to get Freddie Freeman, whoever, or Acuna from the Braves, and we're going to have a home run derby. And the money from that televised event is going to go to frontline workers. Now, that's something with current players, which means you're going to get a younger viewing audience, and you could still achieve the same thing and produce a revenue stream for these people who are on the front lines doing what they're doing for us. I'm just saying it always seems to be retired people. I realize it's easier that way, but if you really want to raise money for these folks, come up with something that you can use in their off season that wouldn't use a lot of, take up a lot of energy, and there's no chance of them really being injured, something like that.
You're talking about team contracts and things of that nature, and that's why it's not going to happen, Greg. It's not. Somebody sent me a video clip of the old Superstars competition that ABC used to run. And you remember that?
Yeah.
The guys who were like great at different sports, and they throw them out there and compete with some celebrities who were good athletes and throw out there. You couldn't have that now. I mean, you got agents and contracts and those type of things that prevent that. That will not happen.
But that's why I'm saying if you're just doing a home run derby.
The retired or recently retired guys.
Well, but the home run
somebody
derby
could
is
pull
not.
Something.
Somebody
could pull something. Somebody could strain something. That's not happening, man. That's not going to go on. You know, it's a great, it's a nice idea. It really is. But I don't see that happening. Because you're doing enough just to try to have a season and get the guys just to do what they're supposed to do, much less something extra added to it. I mean, remember basketball did what they could when they when we're distancing and they had the horse competition. I think they had. Remember how guys were doing it in their own backyard, or in their own basketball goal at their house. Remember that? So I mean, something like that, you could pull something like that off. But something like you're talking about to the magnitude.
Now
I
you know
I
what?
See that
I'm gonna disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. Because these events, there's guys who don't play in the NBA All-Star game, but yet show up for the slam dunk and the other competitions, and they could just as easily get hurt there and doing that and affect their team. Just like this, you're talking about pulling a muscle, swinging a baseball bat. Come on, for charity.
But that's something. That's something for the league.
I think that they would.
All-Star weekend.
I think that they would let these guys, as far as baseball players. Now we could sit here and talk about other sports that could put something up, and that was the first one I reached for. But if it's something for charity, if it's something that, and maybe there's some sort of payoff for the league too. I don't know, but. Again, it's just that they're always using retired players, and I'm just trying to come up with something that would garner a much larger, younger audience. I mean, the spectacle of seeing Mike Tyson again is enough to make a lot of people pay $50. But after round three, I'm dipping out.
Yeah. I'm like, I wasn't going to watch any of that. But you know that. But you know, and also it says a little something about where we are with boxing, as always. And we don't want to get into hitting on that. We always hit on that and where boxing is and why we make something like that an event is because we long for that type of entertainment. Not just the guy's a great athlete, but can entertain us in the midst of showing off his athletic ability. And we miss those type guys in boxing. I'll tell you, the great boxers and outside linebackers. In the NFL, and truly, that's the build, that's the talent, that's the ability, and that's what those guys are doing now instead of boxing.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We are just kind of free forming here because we are our guest. We had a little issue with that, so let's start talking about the NFL coming up next in the at 7:20, and then later on this hour, we're going to hopefully talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter, getting ready for the Falcons and the Raiders today. We're going till 9 o'clock. Wait for a tailgate show follows us. Countdown to kickoff. And as I said, 1 o'clock is Falcons and Raiders. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This is Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, we got about 35 minutes left till we turn things over to the Wait for a Tailgate show. And then countdown to kickoff. Leading up to the Falcons and the Raiders, as you just heard. We're the opening act. So, look sharp, Mr. Crenshaw.
We'll do that. We'll do that.
Looking sharp. As we get ready for the Raiders game and we welcome our guest, and I have one question because you and I speculated about this. I want to welcome and say good morning to Tyrone Poole. Haven't had him on or seen him in a very long time. He was up at the station last time we had him on. Tyrone, good morning, man, and how was your holiday?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Sam. My holiday was excellent. Safe in this craziness of this world, this day and age, with this pandemic. So safe is probably the best way I can describe anything now. So forget about the turkey. Forget about the cranberry sauce. Man, I just want to be safe.
One of the things I wanted to ask you right off the rip is we get ready for the Falcons and Raiders today. We're kind of making fun about what the four-letter network does when anytime they mention the Raiders, they do that sort of Raiders thing, and I think they get that from the former owner. Now, you spent 2006 with that organization, man. How many times did you meet him? Did you meet Al Davis? And did he have, you know, what was he like? What was it like when you were in this dude's presence?
You know, that's a great question, Greg, because I did come to the Raiders. Rob Ryan, who was the D coordinator, Buddy Ryan's son, just like his dad, but a great coach. Rob was the linebackers coach with the Patriots. And when he went out to Oakland, he brought me out there as well. So I'm in the weight room with Al working out, and Al Davis comes in. You know, I'm the type of athlete, I always try to work out and get extra stuff done. That's what I think allowed my career to last. And Al comes in, he comes over to me. And this guy, man, at his age, in 2006, at his age, his mind was still sharp. And when I say that, I mean, this guy, he said, "Hey, Tyrone, welcome to the Raiders." And he said, "I remember you when you were at the Senior Bowl. And we were looking at you," and blah, blah. He started naming some stuff. He didn't just say Senior Bowl. He named some things that I even remember. So, you know, I did meet him, and, you know, great, great owner from what I saw at that time. But, you know, he still was living, I think, off of the old 70s Raiders. But, you know, the Cliff Branch and, you know, Snake, Kenny Stabler, you know, those guys not playing the present 2006 Raiders, but great, great guy, great guy. My first interaction with Al Davis, God rest his soul.
Man, listen, you know what? We didn't know we were going to get that this morning, but we get that when we have Tyrone Poole joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Tyrone, I don't know if you've been a part of teams that have a coach dismissed. That's what the Falcons players are doing. Well, take us in that locker room right now. When you're in the locker room after a coach has been dismissed, you know, what are some things that you try to do each and every week? Because this happened at midseason. Usually that kind of thing happens at the back end, maybe two or three games left. And we saw a coach get fired this week up in Detroit. What happens in that locker room when something like that happens?
Well, usually that locker room has been lost before that coach actually gets fired. You know, things have trickled up to management. And it's just a ticking time bomb. And normally you see it on the field with the coach's play that the locker room has been lost. you start to see calls being made, desperate calls, and things happening that looks sporadic and perplexing. And you're like, why are they doing that? And those, there are telltale signs when a coach is really, really about to be loose or fired, and you see it with the players as well. So I think right now with the Falcons, you know, these guys are just trying to wonder who's going to be there next year. And if I could tell them guys anything, I would tell them, like Eric Davis told me. Eric Davis, I played with him in Carolina. He was with the 49ers. He played with Dion. And Eric Davis also was in the presence of Ronnie Lott. And Eric would always tell me, he told me, he said, practice like a pro. Practice like a pro. And then I borrow another segment that if I had to talk to these Falcon players now, I would tell them the camera, the eye in the sky don't lie. The camera don't lie. So whatever you put on that field, that's what all 31 other teams are going to see. And it's just like acting. You don't want to get typecasted. You know, you got certain actors that all they do are scenes where they're tearing off their shirt, showing their muscles, and you never really see them in a real good acting moment. So that's like a contract is what I'm trying to say. You know, you either going to be known for this or known for that. So, again, I would tell those guys to practice like a pro, because that's what you normally see when you see a change of guard. You know, guys now don't know what to do. They go wayward. And I would tell them to practice like a pro, and also the eye in the sky don't lie. So whatever you put on that field, that camera does not lie.
Former DB Tyrone Poole joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Unfortunately, you never laced them up for the Falcons, but you spent time on six different teams: Carolina, Indy, Denver, Oakland, Tennessee, and New England. And I want to spend a second and ask you about what's going on up there right now, and you as a player knowing what it was like when everything was going okay, but now the adjustments that are being made in New England. For the first time in 20 years, you don't have TB back there, quarterback. What would you expect Bill Belichick to be like right now when things are not going well for him, first of all? And secondly, are you surprised at what you're seeing out of Cam Newton so far?
You know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, you know, there was a conversation where they were saying that Tom made the team, or did Bill Belichick make the team? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know what? I tell people, I think Belichick created Tom. And Tom, with his youthfulness and his understanding of the modern-day game, the way he's being in it, he kind of like took and elevated. But without Belichick, there would be no Tom. And without Tom, it would be no Belichick. So it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? But when I think about the Patriots and where they are now, I look back in 2002. Before I got there in 2003, 2001, they had won the Super Bowl. They beat the Rams, which everybody wasn't expecting them to do. The greatest show on turf, the Rams. So they come back in 2002. I believe they made it to the wild card, but got bumped out. And Belichick was upset that year. So that year, the previous year, they went and just started reloading. They reloaded. Brought in myself, Rodney Harrison, you know, had Ted Washington. So all I'm saying is that just because the Patriots are down right now, believe me, Belichick is scheming for next year. He's scheming for next year. They're going to play hard. They're going to finish. And like I said, the eye in the sky don't lie. So all those teams that want to be a part of the new ushering of Patriots football, the 2021 season, these guys need to play hard. But, you know, he's making do, I believe, with what he has. And I think he's the type of coach that he's great at adjustability. And I think if you're going to win in anything in life, if you cannot adapt, you will not go into the future. So, yeah, the Patriots fans, you know, this process could be a 2-year process or it could be a 1-year process. But when I came in 2003, they had all the pieces together. They had the quarterback. They had the defense. Willie McGinnis. They had Mike Vrabel. Teddy Bruschi. You know, he had Troy Brown. They had the offensive line. This year's Patriots team, there are a lot of missing pieces. So this could be a 1-year fix, or it could be a 2-year fix. But I do believe, as long as Bill Belichick wants to coach, that you're always going to have the threat. It's like a dead snake almost. You know, you like anytime you play the Patriots, they could be 0-8. But the coach is still going to say, hey, these guys are still a good team. So, you know, because they got history, Belichick's a smart coach. So, you know, it could be a 1-year process, could be a multi-year process. But they will be back.
Yeah. Spending time on the weight, Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Tyrone Poole. He is social. You can find him on Twitter at TyronePoole38, TyronePoole38. Coach Tyrone Poole, a proud alumnus of Fort Valley, but now you're going to line up at one of the conference rivals, understand, over Clark Atlanta. Tell us a little bit about Coach Tyrone Poole.
Yeah. Thank you, Sam, for that. You know, you say rivalry, a rival, you know, I'm like, Fort Valley, like you said, yeah, went to Fort Valley, but man, I'm HBCU. I'm HBCU, and we're all family. It's like, you know, I just happened to not be in that blue and gold, but, you know, someone once told me, they said, hey, sometimes God allow you to go all the way out to come back in. You know, even Christ himself, you know, couldn't do miracles in his own hometown, but he came back. So I don't know what the future holds, but I know right now I am a Panther, and I know Sam Greg said I didn't lace them up for the Falcons, but man, I got them colors though. I got that red, black, and white. So I'm in Clark, Atlanta. I'm in Clark, Atlanta, and you know, Coach Bowens, you know, he's trying to put together a great mindset there, and I definitely believe, and I'm telling fans now, anybody who is an alumnus of Clark Atlanta, or you thinking about playing HBCU football or playing football, period, I'm like, there's a new mindset in that Panther organization, that institution, the field. And I always use the New Orleans Saints as an example. And I know Falcon fans, I know. Don't start screaming at me yet. Don't start putting your fingers in your ears. But I'm like, but I just use the New Orleans Saints because when you look at that organization, they really didn't start putting that thing together until maybe Sean Payton's third, fourth year at coach. Then you start to see consistency there. I am telling the alumnus of an alumni of Clark Atlanta, this is the same thing that's about to happen to Clark Atlanta. It used to be Clark Atlanta, hey, maybe they win a game, maybe they go 500. But I'm telling you, there's a new mindset there. There's a new brand of football that's going to be played at CAU. And with HBCUs and myself coming in, other coaches coming into HBCU, I'm bringing my knowledge, my wisdom, and my understanding. I want to teach these guys what it's like to be successful on and off the field, even when you fail. You didn't fail. You learned. So there is no failing. You learned that the way you did it did not work. But there is a way. You just got to keep studying, and you got to keep training. You got to keep falling forward, as I say. Keep putting your feet, walking forward so you can fall forward. We're not going to fall backward, but I'm honored to be there in Clark, Atlanta. I'm going to bring all my connections, anybody. I know everybody see what Deion is doing at Jackson State. But that's the same thing I would do at Clark, Atlanta. I want Mr. Kraft that, hey, come and put his hands on CAU, whatever he can do to help build that program. I want David Tepper with the Panthers. And again, the Falcons fans, don't put your fingers in your ears, Carolina Panthers, but I want David Tepper to come and put money into the program. I want to go out Mike Davis with the Raiders, who the Falcons are playing today. I want Mike Davis to extend his hand all the way from Las Vegas over here to downtown Atlanta to CAU. So I want these organizations, Ursay up in Indianapolis. So I'm trying to do like Deion. I'm trying to bring all the cores and hook them up at CAU. So and jumpstart that puppy. So that's my goal and that's my purpose. Praise God. So I love the honor to, you know, be able to coach these young men, and hopefully they have an opportunity like I did, because I have been where they are, coming from the SIAC. I am a proud son of the SIAC HBCU football.
Fantastic, fantastic. Coach Tyrone Poole, thank you for spending some time with us, wrapping up this holiday weekend, and we're looking forward to great things. We're going to keep up with what you're going to do over Clark Atlanta University, but thanks for dropping the knowledge, and always got so much passion for giving back.
Yeah, he does.
We appreciate you spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate you guys.
All right, Tyrone Poole. Man, I mean, again, he comes on with us, and you like ready to strap it up yourself. Let's get out there and hit somebody. We are not done talking football. We kind of went around the league with Tyrone, but we are going to focus on the Atlanta Falcons next. Going to bring in D. Orlando Ledbetter as we wrap up the show. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg, just about 17 minutes before we turn things over to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show and then countdown to kickoff. We do this on a Falcon Sunday. We're the opening act. Falcons and Raiders coming up at 1 o'clock. As we bring our guest in, Sam, of course, when you hear that music, you know who it's going to be. But I wanted to mention something that actually he has on his Twitter page, and that's D. Orlando Ledbetter. You and I throughout the show have been talking about this charity match that took place between Steph Curry, Phil Mickelson, Charles Barkley, and Peyton Manning. We talked about that. We just had Tyrone Poole on talking about his HBCU schools and his connections to those. But yet we didn't mention the actual purse and the money that was raised for the HBCUs from that match. So let's just take a second and acknowledge $4.4 million raised for HBCUs.
How about that?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Saw that information. And of course, it's been printed in a number of places, but as we prep for our next guest, want to make sure he had that on his page. D. Orlando Ledbetter, it's been a while since we've had him on. First of all, good morning, and how was your Thanksgiving, sir?
Hey, good morning, Greg and Sam. Thanks for having me today. Thanksgiving was great. It was just a small gathering of the family. Dinner was fabulous again, courtesy of the Queen and her daughter. We had a great Thanksgiving.
That's a man who sleeps well at night. Too. Yeah, the queen.
The queen and her daughter. Way to go, D-Led. You get an extra point. You scored extra points this morning. Thoughts about that, though. I mean, before we get into stuff with the Falcons, the fact that golf tournament benefited HBCUs, and we know some of it's going to go to some schools that have athletic needs in their programs. Tyrone Poole was just a guest, and he's going to be getting involved with Clark Atlanta. Just thoughts about those two things before we really get into the Falcons and what's happening today.
Great fundraiser. Our president at Howard University, Dr. Wayne Fredericks, was a big fan of this since we're one of the beneficiaries of the program and of the fundraising. So, you know, we always like that. Athletics, at some schools are on very sound footing, like Howard, we've added golf with the help of Steph Curry. We're recruiting five-star athletes in basketball. Have to do some work to do in football, but have some very good women's sports teams also in volleyball and lacrosse. So athletics is a big part of your collegiate experience. And so a lot of students benefit from playing intercollegiate athletics and also the students. I know I was the announcer for the football team and, covered the Dunk Patrol, the basketball team that went to the NCAA tournament led by Larry Spriggs, who went on to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. So, intercollegiate sports are a great part of your academic learning and a good way, get your career on solid footing. So great to see these individuals helping out and raising money to spread amongst the HBCUs across the land.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. D. Orlando Ledbetter spending time with us here on the WayForward.com hotline. Now, let's get to this game today. How did the Falcons bounce back from what happened in New Orleans last week and get a win over this Raiders team today?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, Sam. This Raiders team looks really good. Went toe-to-toe with Kansas City last week after beating them earlier in the season. Derek Carr is playing some fabulous football. But their defense has some issues. So the Falcons didn't do a very good job of blocking in New Orleans last week. I don't care. You know, they're starting to, blame it on Matt Ryan and the receivers not running their routes. And what I saw was linemen not blocking, giving up 8 sacks and 11 quarterback hits. And it doesn't get more complex than that. They're going to have to block the Raiders a lot better, and they're going to have to run the ball some kind of way without Todd Gurley today. So that's real basic football today for the Falcons. Not real complex in what they got to do, but they got to go out there and do it against one of the best teams in the AFC, the Las Vegas Raiders.
talk to the folks, D-Led, those of us in the barbershop and anywhere else talking about this Falcons team. And collectively, do you think Raheem has got them listening to him and them playing hard for him?
Yeah, they you know, they should be 4-1 under Coach Raheem. They have definitely playing with a lot more vigor and a lot more enthusiasm, not making the boneheaded mistakes or the big plays. Just cutting down on the big plays that they were giving up has been key. He's moved some people around, probably hurt some feelings and so forth. But heck, when you're 0-5, you know, you really can't, you know, fuss about your hurt feelings and so forth. So, the offense is playing about the same, maybe not as good because, you know, Gurley's starting to slow down a little bit and then he's out today. You know, Julio's hurt. You know, they're doing about the best they can with, you know, Calvin Ridley and the rest of the guys. You know, Russell Gage came on late against the Saints, so maybe you can get that from him from the beginning. Defensively, they found some things that work under Raheem there. They're blitzing more. You know, they're hurt at the end spot with Fowler out, and then they have to get rid of Tack. So, you know, that's the pass rush problem's been, you know, even exposed more. So, you know, blitzing Foye Ouletan and Deion and Keanu Neal and sometimes Isaiah Oliver has been helpful. So they've made some strides, but, you know, there's still going to be some tough questions to answer at the end of this season.
You know, you talked about Todd Gurley being out. One of the articles that you wrote talked about the elevation of Tony Brooks-James. What can Falcons fans expect to see out of him?
Yeah, Tony Brooks is more a depth guy. He'll be behind Brian Hill and Ito Smith at the running back spot. He's a little speed back, 5'9", 190-something, played at Oregon. He's been with the Steelers. He's played in 3 games with the Steelers. And he's also been with the Vikings. So he's more, he can return kicks too. So I don't know if they're going to run him out there to do that. But their return game is 24th in the league. So he might be a possibility in the return game. And then he's kind of in the same stature as Ito Smith. So you got another little scat back. Maybe you could throw him some screen passes or something. But I'm thinking he's just a depth guy since he's only been here since Wednesday. Although, you know, he was in camp last year in 2019 with the Falcons. So he knows the system and could probably play if they need him in a pitch here today.
Spend the time on the waitfor.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC and AJC.com joining us. Thoughts about just the season right now, some things that are happening. We've moved this Ravens game around from Thanksgiving game all the way to next Tuesday. We're hearing that the Broncos don't have an eligible quarterback today. Think about how the league is just trying to just move forward with this virus. They're going to close down the facilities, I think, for the first part of this coming week. Just thoughts about that right now.
Yeah, we knew it was coming, Sam, when they decided to play. They expanded the rosters, and, you know, that was your worst-case scenario, is losing your quarterback. So, you know, if you haven't gotten prepared for that, you know, losing the whole quarterback room or losing the whole offensive line room. And so we've seen both of those things happen. They had to push some games back and move them around. Do what you got to do to keep the players safe. So, you know, be flexible just to keep adjusting, you know, move everything back. Get through the season. They're going to get through the season because there's too much TV money to be made by each team. So they got to make that money since the fans aren't there and they're not getting that revenue stream. So, you know, just got to, you know, deal with it. Keep testing. You know, you got the money to test. So keep testing and move the games back to everybody's healthy in some cases. And then in others where, you know, you expanded the rosters, those guys got to play. The practice squad people got to come up and play. The Raiders had 8 people out last week and went to Kansas City and balled out. So they're pro athletes, and you expand those rosters for a reason. So, even if a Lamar Jackson does go down, then, hey, bro, RG3 is in there. Let's go. So that's the way it's going to unfold here. Maybe not be, the best for competitive balance. But they want to get these games on TV, and they want to collect their TV money, so they're going to play these games.
Yeah. D-Led, you know, it's funny. When I look at this AFC West, and I don't I don't know what's going to happen today as with this Falcons team, but I was an old Oakland Raiders fan going back to when I was a kid. But when I look at this Raiders team right now, I listen to the conversations that came out over the last few years. First of all, John Gruden, the game has passed him up. He's coming out of the booth. He doesn't know what he's doing. Then you talk about Derek Carr, and this guy was washed up. He shouldn't have been a starting quarterback in the NFL. Look at these all interceptions and standing there in the middle getting nailed. Now, as they sit at 6-4 in 2020, this 6-4 looks a whole lot different than last year's 6-4. When you talk about this, now realize it's going to be Kansas City's division for a while, but when you look at this Oakland Raiders team, the way it's presently constructed, do you see John Gruden getting this team to the playoffs and staying there for a little bit within the next year or so?
Yes, I do. He's amassed the offensive weapons, which, you know, I know Coach John, go back to the 90s when he was the receivers coach for the Green Bay Packers. So, I've watched him throughout his career. You know, that was his first NFL job on Mike Holmgren's staff. Well, actually, he started with the 49ers the year before in 90 as a grad assistant. So, I'm not surprised. Not surprised he's going to have good offense. And Henry Ruggs is out there. Darren Waller, Georgia Tech kid from North Carolina, doing great. They got Nelson Aguilar off the scrap heap, so, you know, not surprised they got offense. I always had a big line in here, that from Reggie McKenzie's crew when he was there before this. Carr is surprising because I was kind of in the middle on him, but looks like he's going to be a fine quarterback. So, and of course, Jacobs, he's going to be able to run the ball, so that he's got an offense. Now they got to fix the defense like so many other teams in the NFL, you know, including the Falcons. Nothing really special on that defense over there other than the safety, Jonathan Abram, who started at Georgia and went to Mississippi State. So Maxon Crosby is getting some sacks, but Cleveland Farrell, the fourth overall pick, hasn't done much. He was out last week with the COVID-19. So I don't see any superstars on defense yet, but they're putting that part of it together still.
That is D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC and AJC.com. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter. He is social. Follow him at D. Orlando AJC, at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, we thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Happy that your Thanksgiving was well and the meal was prepared very well by the queen and her daughter.
The princess.
I'll be talking about a writing today and talking about a Falcons win later today.
Well, all right, Sam and Greg. Yeah, that was Princess 1 and Princess 2. Helping on the cooking details.
The queen and her prince and her court. There you go. D-Led, as always, man, we appreciate you. We appreciate you, man, and enjoy your day.
All right, likewise, guys. Take care. Have a great one.
You got it. For the rest of you, we got to get on out of here. Ken Roundtree, want to thank you for producing today. We got Wait For It Tailgate Show coming up next. Countdown to kickoff, and then, of course, Raiders and Falcons. Mr. Crenshaw, enjoy your week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.